The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
It's normally Bill Cameron, Dan Peck today on The Drive. Today it is Jason Caldwell, Don Dunn, and Drew behind the controls as normal. A little different Tuesday. I have to remind myself
that's
as well.
Right. That's right.
It is Tuesday, but I appreciate everybody joining us today. And we a little bit different feel for The Drive today with both the guys gone today. Me and Don to hold it down, and just looking forward to hearing from everybody. Hey, there's a lot to talk about.
Yep.
A lot of news.
Yep.
Obviously, transfer portal news.
Right.
A little NFL news going on.
Basketball again tomorrow.
Basketball
night.
Tomorrow night. So
and
yeah,
tonight some games in the SEC.
Absolutely. So a ton of things to talk about. As you just heard a number, call us 334-321-1390 on the Skyboro Hotline, and we'll get you on and see what's on your mind today.
Yeah, great to have you, Jason. I can't thank you enough. I always get a little nervous when I'm the first one here before anybody else pulls in, but. I wouldn't have a clue how to run that board. Drew does a great
That's
job.
That's the most important one.
Yeah,
for sure.
If he doesn't show, we don't show. But again, we're The Drive, and give us a call. We'd love to talk. You got an expert here in Jason. I've been fortunate enough. We were talking out in the lobby. I think it was 98 when I first met Jason when we came to Auburn, and always did a great job for us and always helpful and a great eye for talent. And I appreciate you being here, buddy. On this sunny 58 degrees, and it feels like it's 90.
It does.
After the last couple of mornings.
It does. I got up this morning, and I was like, I had an early Bible study.
Yeah.
So I left the house a little after 6 o'clock, and it was pretty chilly.
Oh, yeah.
Got home, and I'm like, it's still pretty cool. And then I went out about lunchtime and said, I'm going to check it out and take a walk. And I'm like, it feels pretty nice.
Yeah,
Then going to baseball, I went to baseball for a little while this afternoon. There was no breeze, though.
Right.
Sunshine.
Right.
Felt great.
Yeah.
So it was.
And enjoy, because I think the low Thursday morning is 24.
Yeah. It's gonna get back down a little bit.
And the high is 40.
Yes.
So it's January. We get spoiled. You know, the great weather we have.
Back and forth. So, like I said, looking forward to it. A lot going on when you think about, from an Auburn perspective. What's happening news today, Don, that mm-hmm. we saw is I don't think the calendar itself is real newsworthy, but having a spring game that's an actual spring game once again from Auburn, April 18th.
Okay, good.
They're going to play a spring game. They're going to have a Tiger Walk. They're going to do the band, everything. So
good.
I think the way the calendar has changed in terms of the transfer portal
mm-hmm.
has allowed coaches now to be able to do that again.
Right. Right. And another thing, correct me if I'm wrong, right now it's a dead period?
It's dead in terms
two
of
days,
visits. Two more days. So tomorrow.
Because of the National Football Convention?
Yeah, because of the coaching convention.
That's another crazy deal.
So when you were coaching,
right?
This was the time of year where coaches went to look for jobs.
Yeah,
and
make contacts.
And you still had almost a month until signing day.
Yeah.
February. So it made sense for this to be a dead
period.
Right,
right. And it was fun, and everybody went. And like you said, it was a time to mingle with your old buddies, try to get a job if you were looking for one, make new contacts. But what happened, even in the end of my career, less and less people started going. And that's when you were getting into a lot of little crazy stuff going on, even though it was, quote, a dead period.
Yeah.
I don't think it always was a dead period.
No, and now it's dead in terms of visits, but
right.
It's not dead in terms of news and
phone calls. Yeah,
although
yeah.
You can still do all those things. Players can still enter the portal. And the portal itself will close in 3 days. But you can still sign
Friday,
players.
Midnight, right?
Can still do all those things. So it won't be over with, but at least you'll have an idea of what your roster is going to look like at a minimum.
Now, can they visit after the portal?
I think it's still open, yeah.
Okay.
Now, the question is, can you get them in school?
Right,
problem. I think there's some days
that's the problem, right.
But I don't think you have unlimited days.
Right.
You may have a few days here to extend it.
One more question. Is there a high school signing date?
Still a signing day, February
okay.
the 3rd.
Okay.
That's the other part of this, is that if you're Auburn, you've got up to 105 scholarships.
Right.
So you could technically add a couple of other high school guys if you felt like there was a guy that was worthy, or maybe a guy at a position of need or something. You're going to like want to add some depth pieces. You can still do that. I think the one thing that you guys did a good job of that I think is going to come back is going to be junior college.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a piece of this where if you're Auburn, you're looking going like get a junior college offensive lineman that's 20 years old, that's played a couple of years of junior college football.
And it's not spoiled rotten.
Can bridge the gap a little bit
to
get to your young guys.
Yeah.
Use that as a depth piece. And
maybe
you catch lightning in a bottle.
Lucky a couple of times with J.C. Kids, and that is a good idea. I haven't really thought about that. And I still worry about the high school kids. Some of them are getting left out. Maybe do they go to junior college?
See, I don't know. I think I taught my nephew is a high school coach. Talked to some other high school coaches. I think the FCS world, Jacksonville State, UAB, Troy, I think that's where you can get a look at some players that maybe would have never gone there a few years ago.
True,
that they may get to now. Now the number to 105. Might eliminate some of those guys, but I think a lot of it may be the older guys that might go, hey, I'm going to go make a little money, but I'm going to get to play in the SEC.
Right.
But I think from a high school perspective, it's going to – you can treat those situations almost like a junior college where you're going to go, I'm going to go play somewhere and see if I can show somebody what I can do.
Yeah. We got a lot going on, like you said, Jason. Big win in basketball over the weekend. Another tough road game. It doesn't get easier. But, boy, what a huge win.
It was – as complete a basketball game as this team has played this season.
Exactly.
And so that's where it starts. They were unselfish. They passed the basketball.
Made shots.
I kind of look at this one as when I think about this basketball team. If Tahad Pettiford has to shoot more than 15 times, it's probably not a good day.
Right.
Now, he may score a bunch, but you don't usually win a lot of those games.
Right.
I thought that they shared the basketball, got some guys involved, and that you saw Keyshawn Murphy and some other guys. I mean, Keyshawn Hall is going to get his.
Oh, my goodness.
But you saw other guys contributing offensively. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a big deal for this team. Yeah. And, they defended.
And it looked like they were having fun. They were engaged. And, typical crowd. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. It's what I thought this team was going to be, which is there's going to be nights where it didn't look good. There's going to be other nights where you go, man, that team could beat anybody in the country.
Exactly, and they could. Yeah.
Can you have more of those than the other one?
That's the league question. And it's not as tough as last year, but still a very good league.
It reminds me of football.
Right.
Last year was a football league in basketball.
Right.
Where you meant, man, it's really top heavy, but it's good all the way down. Football this year, I didn't think there was a great team.
No.
But I thought there was a bunch of teams that could beat you.
Right.
That's what it feels like in basketball now. I feel like if you don't show up, the last team, and LSU's probably the worst team in the league right now. Mm-hmm. They're talented. They got some guys.
Yeah.
Like you look and go, man, the bottom of the barrel can beat you if you don't play well.
Exactly.
And that's not often the case, but I think that's where it is. So I don't know that the top is good. I think the bottom's a little better. I think the middle's much better than it has been.
Mm-hmm.
And, we'll see what the future holds with them as they go to Missouri tomorrow night. It's a big physical basketball team, and so that'll be a challenge for this Auburn team.
Yeah, and speaking of that, normally on Tuesday we are joined by Andy Burcham, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, and he is in the air or getting close to being in the air traveling to Missouri. We're going to try to get him on, Jason, later in the week. And, again, we appreciate you coming in today to help us out. And tomorrow we'll have Brian Matthews, and we'll be holding the fort down. I know, like you said, there's a lot going on, and right around the corner we got baseball, and there's been some rankings come out already.
They have a couple of top 10 rankings for Butch Thompson and the Auburn Baseball Tigers. I think 10 in Perfect Game 9 in D1 baseball. So going out a couple of days to watch them as they kind of dip their toe back into the water of full team practices. So, yeah. Had a notebook from there today and some things, from background information on that. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. Whatever's on everybody's mind, too, we can talk about that and discuss it. You're right. We got, SEC and college basketball tonight where you start going, man, what's next on the schedule? It was a lighter schedule last night because of, the NFL game.
But, right, which was a blowout. That kind of shocked me.
And then Mike Tomlin steps
down. Yeah, how about that?
It's crazy to me to think about that in this day and age, you have a professional sports organization that will be looking for its fourth coach in 70 years.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, 69 years, so it'll be 70 by the time the next guy coaches.
Right.
That's. I mean, it's so much of this world now that doesn't fit that narrative.
No. Unheard of.
And it is. Yeah. And it, like I said, I don't think we'll ever see it again. They had the right situation, the right moment. Right. He's had a winning year every year.
Yeah, he just struggled.
But he also
in the playoffs.
10 years without winning a playoff game, and which
I can't believe, because growing up, you know, we grew up with the Steelers, the 49ers.
That was it.
And when I'm old enough to remember the Packers, being good, and the Chiefs, and the old Chiefs.
Yeah, but you know, you look at it, and stability was always the key.
Oh yeah,
it was stability, experience.
Yep.
Experience matters on the field, but now coaching, you're seeing people go more and more younger, more and more youth in what they're doing on the field in terms of coaching standpoint.
They still, it seems like in the pros, they just switch jobs. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, you're talking about growing up. I remember it was basketball coaches that did. I remember like Bill Fitch. He coached like 17 NBA teams. And you're like, it was the same guys coaching the same guys over at Hubie Brown.
Right, right.
Look up and go, where's he coaching? Yeah. He's in the league, but where is it this year?
Yeah, and a great coach.
Yep. And so, doing some of those things now. Before we get to our first break, let's go to Rob real quick. Rob's on the phone with the first call of the day.
Hey, Jason, you made a great point last week when you and I were talking about you can't think about 2027. You got to think about right now. I don't mean to sound like – I mean, I got two boys and two girls of my own, but I've got zero attachment to the kids anymore, and it's because there's just no – they don't love the school like we do, and I know we're told it's a different time and all like that, but, you know – honestly, the kids that have been here the last few years, let's tell it like it is. What did they accomplish? And I was talking with Connor O'Gara today, Saturday down south. I asked him about these three coaches that came in from the American Conference, Silverfield, Golish, and Summerall, which one you like the most? And he goes, man, Alex Golish. He goes, I think that's a great hire for Auburn. His story is the American dream. You know, born in Moscow, went to Brooklyn. His dad was a truck driver for Little Caesar's Pizza. He goes to Ohio State, falls in love with it, gets like an apprenticeship or some opportunity with Jim Tressel. And here he is at Auburn, a school with great tradition that's starved for a comeback with a fan base that'll do any and everything, including give their last drop of blood to support their school. I want to, if you feel like I do about that lack of connection, but maybe we're turning a corner.
Yeah, Rob, I think one of the things, and I said this early on in this cycle, and somebody said, well, you don't really mean that. And I said, I really do. But I said, look, if the guy leaves, you just go get another guy. And it sounds harsh, but that's the reality of the world we live in. And the other reality is that you said it something earlier, too. It's like they don't love the place like we did. Don may disagree, but most of the guys that have ever been recruited to Auburn never had a connection like the fans did, but they had it 5 years later.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because most fans, it's hard to understand that most of these kids you recruit, if they came to a football game here, it's not like they grew up. They might have said, I grew up a fan of Auburn, but it didn't mean you came to football games and you tailgated and you did all.
Right.
It's completely different attachment.
Right. And now these kids never heard of Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
If they did, it was, you know, baseball or something else. Mm-hmm. Coach Dye, you know, like we grew up knowing all these people that went to Auburn or went to, you know, SEC school. Yeah, it's changed. But I agree with you. If we get them here and they stay here, they'll be an Auburn fan the rest of their life.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. And you'll find the right ones. There'll be some. But now it's a matter of look at Indiana. Look at Auburn basketball last year, and people will go, man, the attachment they had to that basketball team. And I want to say, well, how many of those people started here? How many of those guys on that basketball team started their career at Auburn? Dylan Cardwell did. There you go. Man, there wasn't many. Most of them were all transfers.
No.
And I mentioned this earlier, and I used it, but Carl Nonnemaker, Auburn baseball assistant, a few years ago said, how do you get old on the mound? Like, he's like, how can you teach an 18-year-old to get a 23-year-old out? It's hard because you just can't do it. Same thing in football. Yeah. Like, you look at Indiana and you go, look, they're 23 years old.
Yeah.
They're talented, but they're not knocked down, drag out better than anybody they're playing in terms of just straight up talent level. But they're old and experienced, and that's a valuable tool.
Jason, you said something last week, older is better, which I love. I love seeing Kurt Cignetti do what he's doing. But one thing I know from life is the coaches, the teachers, the people that just absolutely were the toughest, sometimes me, whatever you want to say, that's, if you want to get closeness on a team and a culture, take a look at basic training, Paris Island, the Army, 13 weeks. You take a bunch of people that have no connection to one another from everywhere east of the Mississippi to Paris Island, you put them through the ringer. I mean, Sergeant Hartman, full metal jacket, 13 weeks later, look what you produce. In today's world, the odds of keeping a group of four or five offensive linemen around for two or three or four years are slim and none just left the room. So I say you bring them in and you just go harder than, you know, Gunnery Sergeant Hartman. Push them, push them, push them. If you need to, take them over to Fort Benning, to Ranger School. Let them see that. But we don't have as much time. So I think the tougher you push people, the closer that group will be. And Coach Dunn, God, I wish you were still coaching. And Jason, you are the best guy covering Auburn. There is nobody. You calm me down, and I get pretty wound up. Anyway, War Eagle, love the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. We'll touch a little bit more on that as we have to come back from this break. Right now we're going to head to the break. More of the drive coming up after this.
And Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. And Don, we were having a discussion a little bit, but you start to think about, you know, what Rob was talking about, and it's the fine line right now in college athletics.
Yeah,
because you want to keep guys around,
right?
And you want them to be pushed hard, but you go, how hard is too hard? Because guys just leave if they don't like it, and you have to do it.
Yeah, it's a fine line. And you know, I'm very proud of Steve and Pearl. I don't know him. I wouldn't know him if he walked in the room other than I would recognize him. But, you know, holding those kids for being late accountable, congratulations. And now, if they're not happy, tough. Look, and it paid off Saturday. I really think so.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
And, yeah, I was a hard-nosed coach. That's the way I was coached. That's the way I was raised. But you're right. There's a fine line. But I still do believe that people want and respect discipline. I'm not talking about harassment. There's a difference. But I think you got to be accountable for what you do, when you do it, and how you do it. But, yeah, some of these kids nowadays, you raise your voice and they're gone.
Yeah, no, it's the difficult task right now to be able to get the most out of people
right
without them going, I'm just going to shut it down.
But
it's also interesting because I talked to – we had a family event at our church over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a guy come in. He's been a counselor before, but he's got children. And he was talking about disciplining children.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me jump immediately to thinking about coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, look, you have to discipline each of your children depending on who they are.
Right.
Like, everybody's different. That's the hard part of coaching now, because you go try to – when you've – in the past, you had a kid that you'd recruited for 2 years. Then he'd been on campus for 2 years.
Yeah, you've known
him.
You
knew him.
Know his family, basically.
Now you've got people that you've known for 2 weeks.
Yeah, or less.
And you made a phone call with them or whatever. Yeah. And now you got to go, look, how do I discipline that person and make them respond while also – the other guy going, well, that guy doesn't respond the same way without them going, well, why'd you do that to him and not to me? That is a difficult part of this right now is that what you're looking at going, you know, you don't know people. That's why keeping people a second year, as we saw last year in Auburn basketball, add a piece to a group that's been there together now for a year makes a world of difference.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see it for this basketball team as well. So,
for sure.
Back to the phone lines. I think it was Bill, right?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, a question for Jason. You know, looking back at Mendoza and Brown, and I'm thinking of Cobb at Kentucky a few years ago that maybe was a two-star coming out of high school or something. And we're just able to sign 105 people now in this second high school recruiting or signing day coming. And the way you follow recruiting, are there any that you know of that might be diamonds in the rough that Auburn could look at stacking up that could come in and be, you know, really good in the future? Or do you follow the remaining high school?
Yeah, probably once we get through this portal time.
Yeah.
I'm sure now they have a big enough staff that they're probably able to do some of those things. The interesting part of it is much like the portal too. You probably don't want much of it public at this point because everybody might be doing the same thing. They're looking for those guys. I was kind of having this discussion earlier, but like you see, there's wide receivers everywhere. There's defensive backs everywhere. When you see linemen go into portal, offensive tackle, defensive tackle, all of a sudden you see everybody in the country offer those because I don't care if it's Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State, whoever it is. They're all trying to sign linemen too. And so that's the part of this you look at. If it was me and I'm thinking about late edition high school signees, you got your athleticism moves to the top of the thing. Maybe a former basketball player that's just started playing football. You look at somebody like that. The other one that I thought, Don, y'all did a great job of was signing maybe a big tight end, undersized defensive end, a big outside linebacker, and going, look, just trust us, come in and gain 40 pounds.
Right.
Those are the kind of guys maybe now that you can go find. And you look at offensive tackles in the NFL, and a bunch of those people were former high school tight ends.
Yeah.
And so maybe a couple of guys like that where you go, look, trust us, developmental guy, we're going to give you a spot. Maybe next year you have a chance to earn a little NIL money, and then in year two, then you get a chance to maybe earn more. I think those are the types of guys I would look for in this ending part of it.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, hey, Coach Dunn, you think you could find any more Carlos Dansby's out there?
Ooh, I wish. Man, what a great player, huh? And he was kind of a hybrid, wasn't he?
He was. Basketball guy.
Yeah, yeah. And see, that's another thing we like to find, a kid that played basketball. You look at DeMarco McNeil.
Cindric Marks, was the ultimate one, yes, I think about, yes, when I think about basketball.
And then at Ole Miss, I had Deuce McAllister, was a great basketball player. Jason Campbell was a great basketball player.
Yeah, I remember, you know, Carlos was a – you think about that, going, big wide receiver.
Right.
That you go, man, he's probably not fast enough to play that position, but he's so big that you know he's going to be explosive enough to play somewhere else, and then he's going to be really fast. He was a safety first and then a linebacker. Those are the guys I would look at going, look, man, this guy's been overlooked because he's long and athletic, but maybe he doesn't fit the mold. Let's see if we can fit him somewhere.
Right. Bill, you gave me goosebumps talking about him.
he's special. But anyway, all right, just wanted to hear y'all's thoughts on that. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know those are the types of players that you start talking about looking at the end of this.
Yeah.
Finding, like I said, a diamond in the rough, but I think it's athleticism, undersized, maybe not undersized in terms of length, maybe undersized. Maybe you got an offensive lineman that's 255 pounds, and you go, man, I don't know. He's not there yet, but I really like his feet. I think he can get bigger. I think about it. There was a young man that came and visited here at Auburn. He'd already had some offers, some of those things. But he was like 265 pounds when he visited in the summer. Mm-hmm. And there was one of the previous staffs here said, you know, I don't know that he's going to be big enough. We ended up going to Mississippi State, ended up being a first rounder. And he just signed a $100 million contract. And that, to me, that's the part of the projection thing.
Yeah, it's hard to do, but you're right. You're right.
And I think lines of scrimmage is where you can do it, especially offensive line, because it's such a developmental position.
Yeah.
that I think you have to get in the mold of. And they just signed five.
Jay Ratliff.
They just signed five. I mean, there's a ton of those guys. Tim Duckworth. And, yeah, I mean, a bunch of those guys. Ben Grubbs is probably the ultimate guy when you think about it. Man, that guy was a big linebacker.
Yeah.
Came and played tight end, moved offensive guard, all pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some of those things there. Tell you what, we're up against a break right now. Let's go to a break, and when we come back, we'll get Spector on the line.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in, and this Tuesday edition of The Drive. Thanks for joining us today. Myself, Don Dunn, Drew behind the controls, and everybody else off gallivanting today.
Yeah, we got some guys. Dan is traveling with the Troy women basketball. They got two big road games, making that circuit down through Louisiana Monroe, and then I think Texas State, possibly. He'll be back next Monday. Bill is enjoying some time off with his lovely wife, and Drew is holding it down. He's still in mourning over his Steelers last night.
Yeah, they didn't. we were talking about it. You know, they were down 7-6 at halftime, and you felt like it felt like it was 100-6.
Yeah,
And like I did, I went to bed. I was like, This is, first of all, it was a terrible football game to watch.
One of the only ones. The rest of them have been really good.
It'll
be exciting this weekend.
We have
them again.
And we still got, 6 days until the national championship game in Miami.
Yeah,
and tickets
like
are
forever.
Tickets are about $4,000 at the moment.
That's ridiculous.
I've seen it a couple of times now, and I guess I'd already heard it. I do remember hearing it, but it's wild to think about that Indiana has the largest living alumni base in the country of any school.
Did not know that.
So they have more living alumni than anybody in this country, and you look up and go, tickets, they're going to be a bunch of red in that stadium, even though it's in Miami.
I mean, you know, once in a lifetime.
Well, I mean, in this thing, like, you know, basketball, there's only been a basketball school.
Right.
Well, they haven't had many of those opportunities in a long time either. It's been a long time since they lost to Maryland in the national championship game.
Right.
I was there. It was in the Georgia Dome.
Right.
But they haven't had a whole lot of success from a basketball standpoint. And there you go, the losingest program in NCAA football
this
history.
Year.
And they're playing for a national championship.
Unbelievable.
But if you don't think that gives you hope, anybody in the country that, man, if you make the right hire, you do the right things, that you can get there. Now, can you stay there? Can you do that? Who knows? But it does give you a chance to kind of get rolling. So
yeah.
Spector calls back if you get a chance. We'll get you back on the line here.
Yeah, apologize for that, buddy. Call us back.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot to look at when you start talking about, you know, Portal, Auburn football. Had some additions late last night, yesterday afternoon. Shamar Arnaud is one defensive back that was committed to Auburn. Signed with Florida State, had committed to a bunch of different schools.
Yeah.
Really talented.
Yes.
He's 6'2", 190 pounds. He is long, can run. He looks like an NFL corner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what he looks like. And so I think that's a big deal. The one that I really like, because I had a chance to talk to him, is Cole Best. You know, you think about Auburn and you start going, man, you know, plug Kale Ellis in at center. And I think Kale could play center. But he's still just 18 years old. You know, graduated high school early, played last year. Getting a guy in that knows this offense, knows the checks, knows the line calls, everything, it's going to be a valuable experience for Kale. Maybe Kale plays guard if Cole starts at center or whatever it is. But I think you've given yourself a guy that, Don, I said this when I talked to him, when I look at him, he reminded me of Ryan Pugh.
Right.
And so – you think
it's a
about
good one.
Leader, hard nose, coach on the field.
Yeah.
Having that guy at center with your quarterback, too, I think is an important part of this.
Right.
And so those guys go hand in hand. And you know, I think you do that. Kale's a guy that can play guard if you need to. But you added Cole Skinner. They got to get more guys on the lines of scrimmage on both sides. But I think it was a, you know, a really big addition for them. As we go back to the phone lines now. And Pat, welcome in, Pat. You doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I wanted to talk a little bit about football and basketball. I agree with you 100% on. To me, I look at it differently. I look at it like, go back through the years, like how many Auburn football players really were here for 3 or 4 years? I mean, there were some good ones, some good amount. Tracy Rockers, and you know, I think Bo was here for 3 years. But in reality, almost every player is kind of like a 1 year. They finally make it as a senior. You don't really see them until they're junior or senior, and then they do good. I mean, it's never been like where we've had, like in pros, where you have like the same guys, you know, 9 out of 10 guys coming back every year. So I feel like everybody's kind of making more out of it than it really is. I personally, as a coach, would rather have the ability that if someone, you know, you bring on a guy like we did, the one guy that was a 5-star that sat on the bench for 2 years and then he left. It's like, I don't want Deadwood on my team, honestly. And I feel like you almost couldn't really cut him. So I think if you're a good coach and you're a caring coach, like Golish seems to be a player's coach that players like, I think you have a much better chance in this environment, because I think they want to play for good coaches that care about them. And I think when you, if there's no point in my mind, and you said it the other day, I feel like, why even go for high school players if it's going to take them a year or two to develop, and then you're almost kind of just throwing money down the drain if they don't pan out. You're almost better just to go get you a good, you know, Power Five guy that's played for 2 or 3 years, and get that guy with 2 years to play, than to try to go get a freshman and hope that he plans out, unless he's a 5-star, no brainer. To me, that's kind of where I feel on that.
Yeah, the issue right now is that just the group of five, even the group of five guy that's played 2 or 3 years and has experience, is going to cost you money. And
yeah, that's true.
And that's the part of this is we're starting to, like linemen. You think about like well, you gotta try to develop some offensive linemen, because those are the guys as high school guys you're probably not going to pay a lot for. If a Jordan Seaton in high school, you're probably paying a bunch for that guy. It got Colorado 2 years, and now he's gone. Yeah, if you're talking about paying somebody a lot of money out of high school to get them, that's where I would probably go. No, I'd rather go get two experienced guys than one high-paid high school guy.
Exactly, and all the 4- and 5-star guys out of high school are going to want big money.
Yeah, so I think a lot of them will. I hope it'll balance itself out a little bit.
Yeah, it will.
But
it'll go down.
But you look and go, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? I still think you have to have guys you try to develop on the lines of scrimmage, especially. There'll be some players that come in and go, "Look, I'm good. I'm ready to come in and work and do those things." But it's going to be really difficult for a lot of 4- and 5-star guys to have that mindset. You might find a couple, but the issue is, what's it costing you? And I mean, look, to me, it's easier to explain in basketball. Duke can get elite 5-star top 15 guys, and they can get 3 of them, and those guys can play. Well, they still didn't win a national championship. Now, they got close. But you look at the other schools and you go, like, Florida had some homegrown guys and went out and got some transfers that helped to bridge the gap. Auburn was a lot of transfers that helped to do that. You look, Purdue is a team that has some guys, but you start looking, going, to me, basketball is where you go, if you can go get the best of the best, go get Boozer and whatever it called, that guy's going to be good enough to win. Jabari Smith's good enough to win.
Mm-hmm.
Most of your guys aren't going to be good enough in basketball. Are you better off going to sign an old guy? I think you are. And I think that's what we're going to see in football. Indiana just showed it. Like, it's really hard to develop guys and have a guy. We saw Georgia this year going, man, they got a bunch of young guys playing on the offensive line. They were good enough elsewhere, but when push came to shove, they weren't good enough.
Well, I think that's where Auburn has the advantage. We went out and got some head coaches, some coordinators that are good at developing, I believe. But I think what we're going to do is go with the mindset, look, if you come here, we're going to develop you. We were going with the mindset, hey, we're going to go get some really great guys and then just put them out there and let them play. And I feel like I think the mindset is, hey, I've got the philosophy. I'm going to get you here. You may not be the 5-star, but I'm going to turn you into a great player. I think that's kind of the mentality I think that Golish is going with. And I like that idea, you know, because it seems like Kiffin's kind of just going out and, you know, trying to just get the biggest ones, which is fine. I wouldn't have minded that. It seems like an easier way to go if you're a great coach and calling plays. But I feel like with Golis, I feel like he's more of a we're gonna make you better. And I love that's what Atkins said. You know, Xavier Atkins, you know, he said, look, I believe this guy's going to make me a better player. I feel like we lost that the last 5 years. Yeah. We did not have that.
The interesting thing is that you look and Indiana hasn't signed the biggest portal names. I would say that Ole Miss hasn't signed the biggest portal names. Now, they signed a few, but like Kewon Lacy was a backup at Missouri and wasn't even playing, and they signed him. Listen, Trinidad Chambliss has been really good, but if Austin Simmons doesn't get hurt, that guy's not even playing. He wasn't the starter.
Yeah, but he developed him.
But he wasn't the starter. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes, what I'm saying is it wasn't going just to sign in the most highly thought after in terms of money free agents, and that's what they are. They went, look, we can get these guys. He's pretty talented. I think more than development, I think there's never been a more important time for evaluation, ever. Evaluation. Yep. This is what NFL teams have been doing for years, but they did it with five guys. You go, man, we need five free agents to really push us over the top. Now your college teams, you're going, we need 25 guys to fill the holes we got. What do we need? Who do we need? And what kind of player is it? I think this is where the evaluation period comes up because it's not always going to be the backup, highly rated guy that didn't play at Georgia. Sometimes it's the guy that played 3 years somewhere else, and you go, man, for 1 year, that guy's going to be better than that young guy. And I think that's what you're saying, too.
Well, in basketball, I wanted to say, I think that our team, this showed right here was that we have enough. We have guys on a team that are individually – great, really great players. Elmer Rowan, they're really great players. But when they finally play like a team, and that's where Tahad, I feel like he made a huge step on actually being a point guard. I feel like that made our team almost to the next level, to the almost two levels, to where we could compete with the Michigan. I think had we played that kind of game that night against Michigan, we would have been in the game. I feel like, but our team could. We're learning each other, and I think that's part of it. And I don't have a problem with that. I would love to wait till March and we get our team playing like this on a regular basis. And I would love it. I think that's where we're going to be. My last point I wanted to say for you, Coach, is that they all talk about how you're such a tough guy, but you seem like a happy, jovial guy all the time. I hear
well,
you laughing. And,
yeah, I'm very happy.
I can't see you.
He's not coaching anymore.
That's right. No. Yeah. My nickname was No Fun Done. And some of the players still text me every once in a while. But, you know, we were talking earlier, they want to be disciplined and coached hard. And, again, there's a difference between coaching hard and brutality or, you know, being
– harassment.
Harassment, yeah, is what I said earlier.
And accountability.
Accountability, yeah. That's it. Just, you know, do things right, be on time, be early, set your clocks up 10 minutes early, all those things. And I preach it to them every day, and I still hear from them. And that's the neat thing about coaching is when you hear from guys, you know, 10, 15 years after you coached them. But, yeah, I'm a pretty happy guy.
Yeah. Well, I thought that's the same thing. You know, I try not to demean people.
Right.
You know,
that's a great word.
Oh, you're sorry. You're sorry.
That's
you know,
a
you're
great
not,
word.
You're terrible. You say, oh, no, you're doing this wrong. This is what you're,
right.
You're not a bad person. You're just, you need to, if you correct it and you do it
right.
this way,
right.
then everybody will be happy and you'll be better. So I think that's where I feel like Golis is more like that. Like
yeah.
I do. I really
I'm
do.
Impressed with everything I've heard. I do not know the man, but I've listened to him. I've watched him. And, you know, hopefully, and I've heard nothing but good things about him. So we'll see. Still on the honeymoon. That's a nice thing.
Well, and that lasts till you play the first game.
That's right.
Yeah, you'll be okay until then. Play the A-Day game. I mean,
right.
Like, there'll be some people that have, you know, maybe if you don't go out and score 84 points combined in the A-Day game, somebody might get mad.
Yeah.
But, that opener against Baylor will kind of set the tone,
exactly.
Even though it's crazy to think about. That's the world we live in now.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Pat, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Go to our final break here of this first hour. We'll be right back with more of The Drive after this.
Jonathan here.
On ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Just a few minutes left here in the first hour of The Drive. I want to appreciate everybody calling in. Like I said, 334-321-1390 if you want to bend our ear today, Don. But, you know, it's fun to we were talking about some old names doing those things. But
yeah.
Just to think about, I mean, and, you know, I had somebody ask me last week going, look, how different is it than it was, you know, when you started? I was like,
right.
Shoot, how different is it than it was 5 years ago?
Yeah, or two.
But it's miles different than it was,
oh, yeah.
You know, almost 30 years ago when I started doing this.
Yeah, I think I coached about 40 years counting high school. Telling my age, oh man, it's everything's changed. Right now, we'd all be down at the national convention.
Yeah, and
everybody.
Like, well, and your you know high school recruiting,
right.
You know, because when you first started, there was no early sign-up period.
No,
you would be trying to make sure you had your visits lined up for this weekend.
Oh, that was fighting for it, and then you always wanted. Remember, first you wanted to get the last visit.
And now,
you want the first visit.
That's it. It's completely different. Yeah. You wanted the last visit because nobody could sign.
Yeah. High school relationships were a lot more back then, I believe, before the portal. Just so many little things. And social media.
Yeah.
We didn't have to worry about it. I didn't have a cell phone when I first started.
Nothing. You know,
I remember getting out and calling people on the side of the road.
I remember.
Or a dime.
I do remember, though, that when Facebook started, that's how I first got in contact with recruits.
Yeah,
because it was started on Facebook.
Right,
there's still a bunch of these guys that I'll see somebody pop up, and I go,
"Yeah,
who is that?" And I'll go, "Well, that was a guy that y'all recruited because in 1999."
Didn't their phone number pop in?
Well,
there?
Or you could send them a message if they became friends.
Yeah. So I had no clue. I had to have a graduate assistant, and probably my son set all that up for me.
And
I
so
had no clue.
That's how it started for me. I think about you know whether it was I think like guys like Brian West. You remember him from Beaumont, Texas?
Yes,
guys like that. That's how I got in touch with those guys. Then.
Yeah.
But now it's completely different.
And, you know, another funny story is about recruiting and stuff. I used to speak to the Glazer Clinics. Remember them? They were famous. Now they're not as
– It's high school now.
Yeah, and mostly it's online.
Yeah, I know one of my Deacon brothers, and who's he's the defensive coordinator at Auburn High School,
right.
Scott Goolsby, still goes to the Glazer Clinics.
Yeah, and they used to be
still
the best.
Still does those things.
And I would speak at them, but I didn't know anything about points. What was it called?
The
computer.
Correct, yes,
I did all mine by old school the
slides.
No, the writing it on the piece of paper.
I know what you're saying. I got you. Yes.
Overheads.
Yes, overhead projector.
Overheads and wipe it off. And I'd have.
Yeah, there was no PowerPoint going on.
No, right. I never had a PowerPoint. And them guys would think I was crazy. And they'd say, Coach, can we get a copy of your PowerPoint? I said, No, I'll send you whatever I got, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, take pictures of it. That's it.
Yeah. But the old overhead and the big machine and have the magic marker, I'd have stuff all over me.
Yeah, no, it's a. Yeah, so it is completely different, but that's part of it now is, you know, and I always said this. Look, there's a lot of things that I didn't really like about Nick Saban. I didn't like some of the attitude he gave to media, some of those things. The one thing that always stuck with me though was his willingness to adapt.
Yes,
and there's never been a more important time right now than right now to adapt. You have to adapt.
You have to
look at Clemson.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say Dabo Swinney. Slowly, he's doing it a little bit, I think.
And is it too late?
Exactly.
That's the question.
You have to have more people involved, which they do. You have to have a staff that's – people complain, but you have to have that many people.
Because we were just talking about it. Yeah. You're still recruiting high school guys.
Oh, yeah. You've got portal guys.
And you're also trying to keep your guys out of the portal.
Oh, man.
And so, like, you have every – I mean, it used to be you dealt – well, we got 85 guys.
Right.
Now you got – 485 guys. I mean, there's no telling how many people you contact to try to visit or you watch to see if you want them to visit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just over and over again. Well, there's almost 10,000 people in the portal. I don't know how many have signed, but let's just say 2,000 of them.
How many is in the portal?
10,000.
10,000.
But that's all the way up.
Right.
So that's FCS.
Every level. Yeah.
But you're talking about several thousand players that you would be looking at realistically.
And there's going to be somebody slipped through the cracks.
Absolutely, there is.
Yeah.
And so you start to look at it and go, look, I mean, look at, you know, a guy like a Fernando Mendoza. You go Indiana, got him, go, thought he was good. I mean, he played here, you know, 2 years or, you know, last year.
For Cal.
I went back and watched the Miami game for Cal, and I was like, because it was showing it today, because he played Miami in an ACC game last year while he was at Cal.
Wow, and, I did not realize
Miami
that.
Miami went on the road to Berkeley, yeah. And I started watching a little bit of it today, and he played fairly good, but you're like, never would you envision that being the missing piece at Indiana.
Unbelievable.
And so that's part of it now, trying to find those missing pieces that you have.
Yeah, but it's crazy.
Yeah, relationships do still matter, though.
Yes,
because you might – I talked to a coach, said, look, back then you didn't get a kid, you erased his number. Mm-hmm. It was over with.
Right.
Well, now you don't erase his number. You say, good luck. Hey, we love you.
You cannot burn a bridge now.
If you need anything, always stay in touch because he's going to come back around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that didn't happen when we were coaching.
No.
These kids, sucker, we'd cuss them and hang up on them.
It but, did yeah. not. So, yeah, so I don't know. It's a really interesting time. But, yeah, you know, when you think about, you know, the future of sports, we'll talk about this once we come back afterwards. But there were some things that happened today from the coaching convention that – kind of get your take on is something we've talked about a little bit.
Yeah,
red shirts,
right?
Fifth year, all these things that are going on.
And we'll talk about it after the break.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think that's something to talk about. We'll talk more basketball after the break, and then in the second hour, we'll also have Jake Crane joining us
great.
As well as we can talk about that as we do that.
I'm sorry. And again, if you were wanting to hear Andy Burcham, he is traveling with the team. We'll try to get him on later. Andy does a great job, and always enjoy hearing him, but we'll get him on hopefully at the end of the week.
Yeah, so yeah, a lot to talk about. Yeah, basketball.
Yeah,
tomorrow night at Missouri. Thankfully, I don't think it's as late a start as we.
Oh
had.
Man, don't say 8 o'clock games. They're never going to start on time anyway.
Then no, and that's the other part.
Yeah, why don't they just say 8:30?
Give them an extra 15 minutes. yes, it's a 6 o'clock start on ESPN2 tomorrow night. So it is. You know, a national broadcast. So get to see, you know, Auburn get to see them do that. So. But a lot to talk about. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break here. Again, call us 334-321-1390 after the break, and we got a lot more to talk about. So join us on The Drive after this break.
This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Drive on this Tuesday. Sorry to disappoint you. I don't have the dulcet tones of Bill Cameron. Don't quite have that voice. But Jason Caldwell here, along with Don Dunn, Drew running the ship here for us today. And we appreciate everybody joining us. As you just heard, call the Sky Bar Hotline if you want to give us a call, 334-321-1390. And a lot of discussion in the first hours. It was a lot of fun. Old school, new school, basketball, football, covered a lot of it.
Even got baseball coming up. We haven't touched on that. I know you've been out to practice some and in the top 10 in a couple of polls.
Yep.
Beautiful stadium renovation last year. I mean, everything's going good. Man.
It is. It was.
We just get this football team rolling.
That's it. You know,
it will. I believe that.
I think so, too. And I was talking to a couple of people. I went to baseball practice today. And I had a chance to sit down with Alex Golish a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those where, you know, it's like now everything, it feels like you're on a video and everybody wants to do podcast video stuff. And
right.
I said, look, all I want to do is sit a recorder down and let's just talk.
Right.
And I think sometimes that's still where you get maybe more meaningful things sometimes.
Yeah. As a coach or anybody, you're like this, you're in the media. Sometimes you're on guard.
Yeah.
And you do give coach speak.
Yeah.
Where, okay, we're going to get better. We need to tackle. We need to block. Yeah, no kidding. But what is your philosophy? What do you believe? And I heard your interview, a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, and so I think one of the things that stuck out to me, and I don't care where it is. I don't care what you're in, whether it's business, coaching, whatever it is. He told me, he said, look, my goal is to always surround myself with people that are smarter than me.
Oh, very true.
And it makes me think about watching folks and going, look, if you think you're the smartest person and you have all the answers, it normally doesn't work.
You're going to fail.
It normally doesn't work. So I thought that was really interesting. And then you look at the hires, and you look at coordinator hires, and you look at, you know, hiring the people they did on defensive side of the ball. And then Joel Gordon's a guy that has been really successful coaching quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, Brock Purdy is a guy that's still playing.
Right.
Obviously, Byron Brown's been good. And so, yeah, I think, you know, a lot to talk about there. But we do have a phone call waiting. Let's get back to the phone lines on the Skyboro Heartline. And Terry, welcome in.
Hey, Jason, Coach Dunn, how y'all doing today?
We're doing good, Terry.
Great, Terry, thank you.
Good. Jason, I heard you talking about the portal. Did I hear you correctly say over 10,000 kids are in the portal?
Yeah, that was the total number of – and I think that probably goes from D3 all the way through or whatever. I don't know exactly how many –
junior high.
I don't know how many exactly D1 or – you know, whatever it is, I would guess it's several thousand
good
names
Lord.
That were in a portal.
Now, how many of them do you think are doing it just to be saying they're doing it? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I think it's just a fad.
I think there's some of that. And unfortunately, I think there's some of that where some people are going to find out, you know, how much they're really wanted. That's a part of this, too. Even guys that were highly recruited and you haven't played there's going to be guys that go, man, I'm not going to end up at another power school. I'm going to have to go down and play. And I said, so we just saw it. And, you know, we saw Walker White go from Auburn to Baylor to Central Arkansas. But I think it's the right move. There's nothing more valuable than playing. I mean, you look right now and you go, man, the guys that are most valuable in the portal are guys that are played, no matter where they've been.
Well, and there may not be a spot for you at your original signee school.
No, I think a lot of people, and Don was talking about burning bridges. I think, unfortunately, some of these guys burn bridges on the way out of town, and it eliminates the possibility of going back. And so, like I said, you never know who you're going to cross paths with in this world. I would keep open as many relationships as I could.
I guess you call them agents or whatever involved in this. They get in the heads of these kids?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's driving a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because agents get paid when players get paid.
Right.
And
right.
If you want to talk your guy into going to see if he can make more money than school A is willing to give him, then that would benefit the agent if that happens. If he doesn't, then it's not. I mean, not losing money. He didn't have to pay the guy back for costing him money. So that's the unfortunate part of this. Is that the big part of it to me too? Is that in the NFL, and there's a lot of college agents that are registered, regulated too. But there's a lot of them that aren't. There's a lot of them that are somebody's, you know, college roommate, former college roommate, or a former, you know, AAU coach or a 7-on-7, whatever it is. And I think there's probably a lot of bad information that's been given out over the last few weeks.
Well, last thing, how do you think it'll affect guys staying in college? It'll affect the pro draft? Because I think guys will stick around knowing they can make the money.
I was shocked to see, Alabama quarterback stay in the NFL draft instead of – yeah, here's the thing. First of all, I don't believe for a second that somebody's going to give him $6.5 million. But
right.
$4 million, I could see. Mm-hmm. $4 million to stay in a year. Somebody say, well, what if he gets hurt? Well, you still made $4 million.
Right.
That should be pretty good considering you probably made a good bit last year too. Okay. It's why I never understood the other one. The flip side is because I know they're saying he's going to be a first rounder. We'll see. But I do think Trinidad Chambliss is going to be a first-rounder. I never understood him going back when he was as hot as he could ever be. And I think you go guarantee first-rounder, get a guaranteed contract. To me, that's a big deal. But no question now. I mean, Janai Broome a couple of years ago, where you go, man, I might get drafted. 10 years ago, Janai Broome never plays last year. He's gone. He's gone. But now you look and you go, look, if you can stay in college, you don't have bills to pay. you get money. You're eating in the training table. They're giving you all your clothes to wear.
Right.
It's hard to beat the deal they got right now, and that's why
I think the NFL draft is such an inexact science. From about the 15th pick
true.
On, it's a crapshoot.
It's not even 15th pick on. You can go higher than that. We were just talking about that. It's funny you mentioned that, Terry, because we were talking about it. I said everything's an inexact science because athleticism, size, strength is only part of it, and you never know who's got it. You can watch it and you go, man, I think that guy's got it. But you put him in this situation and he may not have it. That's why, like quarterback-wise, you'd much rather be the fourth quarterback on the board than the first one because you're probably going to a team that's not very good. And it's probably – it might derail your career. Look at Sam Darnold. Look at these guys. I mean, like the second time around, they're used Daniel Jones until he got hurt this year.
Baker Mayfield.
I mean, look at Bo Nix. You go, man, if Bo goes to the Jets instead of the Broncos, Bo Nix isn't doing what he's doing in the NFL. And so that's part of it too, is where you are, your situation, all those things. And so it's crazy time we're living in for sure.
And I'd want to be drafted at the end of the first round. That way I go to a good team and I can sit on the bench for a couple of years.
Well,
quite honestly.
That's it. And you're it's a much better situation. If you can go down, obviously you want the money involved with the top spot, but most of these guys, if they've already been there, they've already made money.
Right.
And that's the part of it now. You're right. There's not as big of a willingness to go jump at uncertainty. Because I think about Eli Manning going, look, I'm not going to play for this team. John Elway, I'm not going to play for this team. Now instead of, well, I'm just not going to play it, you're going to have to trade me. Now you go, well, I'll just stay in school. I'll just stay in school another year. And hopefully, and we'll touch on this after the break, and we can touch on it right now. Hopefully they'll end that.
Right.
Because we need to get out of the 6-7 year college experience and make people eventually have to move on.
Right.
Right. And I don't think people, the NFL especially, puts enough emphasis on the second contract.
Yes.
Not the first one, the second one.
That's
that
true.
Means you're already established, you've already made money.
Yeah, no, that's a part of it. NBA is where it's a really big deal where the second contract money comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, we're going to have to get to that at some point in college athletics too, to where you go, look, I was mentioning about signing high school kids. Going, look, if you get there, we'll take care of you. But we're not giving it to you until you show us you can do it.
Right.
Right.
Sooner or later, you're going to have some boundaries and things to set up to where you can say, look, if you – and people – it's pay for play. That is, but we're so far past that now. It's not even the vocabulary of NCAA sports.
I haven't heard that in a while.
Yeah,
way far gone.
Yeah,
you guys continue to do a great job. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks, Terry. Thank you, Terry.
Yeah, Don, we're talking about it, but today at the football coaching convention,
right?
Coaches voted to make resolution. To give people the ability to redshirt up to 9 games instead of a 5th year. Mm-hmm. And I said, look, you might just do it 5 years to play 5 and be done.
Yeah.
I don't know what 9 games would solve.
I don't understand where they came up with 9 games.
So just go ahead and play 5 years.
Yeah, 5 for 5.
But no medical?
Right.
No redshirt?
Right.
No nothing. You got 5 years to play and that's it.
I think that's awesome.
I think got to get back to some semblance of having a calendar where it used to be, you remember this, and I hadn't heard this forever either. Hey, your clock started.
Yeah.
his clock started. Right. That means you got 5 years.
Right.
And you got a red shirt year.
Right.
Started the clock.
Right.
Well, the clock's broken now. There's not even a clock.
We're
in a Vegas casino now. There is no clock.
No clocks, no windows.
Because of that, you look and go, look, I'm hoping that eventually go, look, you got 5 years to play 5.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. And – sorry, I mean, we're going to see a game, the national championship game Monday night where Indiana has a bunch of old guys. Akeem Mezador, that is Miami's other pass rusher, is year 7, I believe. I think he's the 7th year, has had a couple of injuries. They keep giving him years. And I think about it to go and look, just think about guys who lost years because they didn't have that back
right.
then.
Yeah.
What's to keep that guy? I'm going, you know what, I got another year. I can go play. I'm gonna reinstate myself to go play my 5th year of college football.
I'm surprised someone hadn't challenged that.
And would they'd probably cave if somebody did.
Yeah.
but yeah. So
Yeah.
It is. It's.
Did they say anything about the playoffs yet? Or
they haven't said. The Big Ten is trying to make it a 24-team playoff, I think, wow, is what they said. But no mention of the calendar.
See, that's what –
that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. As it is right now, the calendar is I think it's as good as it can get until something else fixed.
Right.
I think the calendar – I don't think you can worry about the calendar until you worry about the transfer portal.
Right.
Until you worry about the years.
Right.
Until you worry about do guys sit out, all mm-hmm. the – until then, the calendar doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And so I think right now you can deal with what you can deal with and move on.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff. And like you said, it's changed so much in the last 2 years, in the last year
yep.
even.
No, it's and more change until it gets fixed.
And, you know, I hear people say, well, how come they need so many people on their staff? You have to have, like you were talking, Jason, if you don't have guys on top of everything or young ladies on top of everything, you're going to miss out.
No.
And you're going to be left behind,
and
you're going to struggle.
Yep. No, you have to have as many bases covered as you can,
exactly.
and you're still going to miss some. And so,
oh, yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
is it. That's the world they live in now. So we'll take a quick break here, 15 after the hour. Come back one more segment before we get to Jake Crane at the bottom of the hour. So check us out here on The Drive.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday Drive. Jason Caldwell here with Don Dunn. Drew running things for us on the board here. And Don, we talked a lot about portal football. Basketball, looking at Missouri,
mm-hmm.
it's an interesting team. And, again, we're talking about it. There's a lot of people that are capable. You know, we're just talking to Pat earlier. And, look, if that Auburn team plays the way they did. But basketball is a matchup game.
Yes.
And this is a more difficult matchup, in my opinion, because
a lot of length
Missouri has a lot of length. But they play that way.
Right.
Arkansas has a lot of length. They didn't play that way.
No.
They wanted to stand out in the perimeter and shoot threes,
right.
And like that played to Auburn's favor.
Mm-hmm.
You look at in this league right now, Vandy is the story in college basketball right
Unbelievable.
Now.
Unbelievable.
They're 16-0, 3-0 in the league. Texas A&M, the other story right now, 3-0.
They got Tennessee tonight.
13-3 over in Knoxville tonight.
Yeah,
and you look at, I mean, look at Tennessee. You know, you start going like, how does this league factor in? Tennessee's 1-2. Alabama's 1-2, Oklahoma's 1-2, Auburn's 1-2, Kentucky's 1-2. I mean, these are all teams that people are like. These are top 25 teams,
mm-hmm.
and they're all 1-2 in the league.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big basketball game for Tennessee tonight at home.
Yes,
because you start talking about, man, if you were to fall to 1-3 in the league, knowing what's ahead, you got Kentucky at home, and then you're at Alabama, at Georgia, Auburn at home, Ole Miss at home, at Kentucky, like. All of a sudden, these losses start to pile up a little bit. I mean, I think everybody's in the same boat.
Alabama goes to Mississippi State tonight. Interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. So, I mean, there's some fun basketball games where you start to talk about, what this looks like. And then, you know, Florida's at Oklahoma. Oklahoma's got a little size. Florida's playing much better.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at this Auburn team, can you – play that way away from home. They played, I thought they played well enough to win at Georgia. And the thing you look at them for, and I look when you go on the road, because it's going to be a hostile environment because Missouri's playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Can you avoid the 3.5-4 minute stretch? To me, that's almost the key in college basketball. Can you avoid that stretch where you look up, and you've been outscored 11-0
mm-hmm.
or 10-2.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it against Texas A&M, even at home.
Right.
It flips the game. It changes everything.
Completely.
Can you avoid those types of moments away from home? That's going to be
a game of runs, like you say.
And that's college basketball.
And you can't panic. And, as a fan, you say, oh, my gosh, we haven't scored in 4 minutes. And, all of a sudden you rip off 8 or 9, or they rip off 8 or 9. I could not coach college basketball. I'd be a nervous wreck.
It's such an emotional game.
Yeah.
You think about football. Football is a game of emotion.
Right.
But it's not each individual play.
And very seldom do you have a run where you're going to give up 14, 15, 16 points in a row. It happens. But
Like
Indiana did it the other night.
I'm trying to think, though, like the football equivalent of like what happened to Auburn at home against Texas A&M.
Yeah.
The football equivalent of that is a game that I remember very well.
Right.
In 1985, mm-hmm. Auburn played Florida State here, Jordan-Hare Stadium. It's a close game until the fourth quarter. And it was a pick six, a fumble recovery. And you look up and Auburn wins the game like 50-27.
Wow.
But it was a game that was an 8-point game or so. In just a couple of minutes, the game turned. Not even the LSU in 1994 game felt like that because it was, oh, man, LSU takes the lead back. That one is like, boom, it's over with.
Yeah.
And it felt like the same thing in that Texas A&M game. Now, Auburn did come back and made it obviously what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you don't normally have those same situations from a football perspective.
Yeah,
before we get to Jake, I had somebody that wanted to know a question, said, what was the biggest recruiting win that you can remember that you were like the lead recruiter guy for?
Oh, me?
Yes. Like, do you remember, or a couple of them?
Well, at Ole Miss, Deuce McAllister, the whole family was Mississippi State. The doctor that delivered him was a Mississippi State alumni. The high school gym and field was named after the family doctor in Little Forest, Mississippi. And we got him, and the rest is history. Great kid. I still hear from him. His son is going, daggone it. I know where Spencer Johnson's son's going to A&M.
Yes.
But Deuce's son's going somewhere. But anyway, that was a good one. Jason Campbell was a good one. You know, I was lucky. I had a couple. Gerard Powers is a kind of a sleeper.
Yes.
That everybody said he's too short.
Yeah, nope. And I remember –
and you know, Josh Thompson.
Josh, same thing. Yeah. What's funny is that you mentioned that so much of it early on, and it's not the same way anymore, so much of it early on was you recruited by territory.
Yes, that's what I had, yes.
So you had Mississippi and North Alabama and some of those spots and then South Georgia.
Right.
It was all about Eddie Grant had South Florida.
Right.
That's where he'd been because of
and
Miami.
And you're right, Jason. You talked earlier about relationships. I didn't want to switch. Once you get
you knew
in there,
all those coaches.
Yes, and boy, if you get in a new area, it takes trust. You know, some of them old crusty high school coaches.
Yeah, they don't want
to I
talk
remember
to
they'd
you.
Make a young coach like me when I was real young wait.
Yeah.
They wanted to see if I was going to stick it out or was I going to just jump in the car and leave my business card mm-hmm. and I'll call you back. You better wait them out, and you better let them talk and listen, get up on the board with them,
yeah.
Drink coffee, eat catfish, whatever they were doing.
Yeah, no, and so that's how it's so different now because of huddle.
Yeah.
Because you can watch film.
Yeah.
And now because
carrying the projectors around.
Yeah, and because of social media. Now you can FaceTime.
Yeah.
Now you can get in touch with people. You can Zoom
Zoom.
Because of that now and because high school recruiting has changed.
Right.
That it's not nearly those things as it used to be. I remember the first time we're like, oh, we're not recruiting by area anymore. Now it's by position.
Right.
And
very seldom. Every once in a while, we'd bring in like you and all to see Timmy Ducksworth.
Yeah.
Late.
Or your coordinator if it was a quarterback.
Right.
Or
come see Jason, Nomazzoni.
Yep.
Eddie Grand, come see a running back. Yeah. But that was late.
Yeah.
Because you had to establish that.
But you were the relationship guy for your guys.
Right.
Even though it might have been a running back.
Right.
Like you said.
Right.
And now it's completely different. Now you recruit mainly by position.
Yeah.
There's not much area anymore.
And a great example is Jason Campbell. I recruited him at Ole Miss when he was at Taylorsville High School. His dad was not going to let him go to Ole Miss. His brother was a good player at Mississippi State.
Yep, Larry, right.
When we get hired here, when we get hired at Auburn, I called him up. I'll never forget it. I said, Mr. Campbell, this, you know, Coach Don Dunn, blah, blah, blah. Hey, Coach, how you doing? I said, now can I recruit Jason? I'm at Auburn. He said, you sure can.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
That's awesome. Yeah, but like I said,
those stories,
they don't really happen as much anymore.
No. And I miss though. I mean, I miss coaching, but I miss those relationships. And then you got those guys to come to your camp.
Yeah.
Work your camp. we made no money, which is fine because Tuberville's deal was take care of these high school. You remember they'd stay for the whole week.
The whole week. And
then we'd feed them during the middle of the week.
But the NCAA took that away.
Right. We'd feed them or take them to touchdowns for wings. And Lord.
Well, and for me, that's where most of the relationships I got with high school coaches came because of that.
Exactly.
I still see these guys to this day.
Yeah.
And you still see them because I've now known them for over 25 years.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Great stuff.
It is. And that's, you know, that's a part of it that I don't think we'll ever get back.
No, unfortunately. And I hate it. Yeah. It's a shame.
But, yeah, like you said, adaptability. But, man, those were times where you think about what it took to build a program.
Right.
And it was completely different.
Yeah. And you wanted to redshirt everybody you could and develop them, bring them along.
There were guys where you went, man, that guy's going to be able to play.
Right.
But they were few and far between.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's where you got into, like you said earlier, we might have a tight end that we're going to get him. Now we're going to move him down. We're going to move him down. We're going to move him down. We're going to move him a linebacker to safety, a safety to linebacker. A D lineman to O lineman, a lot of that. Timmy Ducksworth, all those guys.
A lot of
them. But
And like I said, now you do that now, and the guy's gone.
Oh yeah,
he's leaving.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, and even though I mean, you think about it, going like how many guys made those moves, and it wound up being the best thing ever,
and played in the pros.
I mean, it's just the way it is, and that's the part of it now where that development side of the game has changed.
And like you were talking earlier about raising kids and stuff, instant gratification. I got to have it now. I got to have it now. I can't pay my dues. I don't want to wait. And that's hurt us too, and I blame it all on social media.
Yeah.
It's also everybody gets a trophy and all that kind of stuff.
It's also why I want to see Arch Manning succeed. Now,
yes.
Here's the thing. He got his money. He didn't do it for free.
Right.
He didn't wait around.
True.
But he also said, look, I understand that I'm not ready yet. And he didn't go to the NFL this year because he said, look, I'm not ready yet. I like that there's still some people out there.
I pull for him.
That are going, look, I'm
not a Texas fan, but I pull for him.
So I think those are some of the things you look at and going,
yeah,
man, can you make those decisions knowing that it's a – and you hear players talk about it all the time,
mm-hmm.
knowing it's a 30- or 40-year decision instead of a 3- or 4-month decision. Because that's the part I hate right now.
And,
guys aren't getting – they're not going to – when you look up and you've played at four different schools, we were talking about earlier, where's home?
Right.
Where is home?
And the relationships you build. I'm still in touch with my college teammates.
Yeah.
My roommate in college, I talked to him last week. That's been 50 years almost.
Yeah, and when that changes every year for 4 years, where does that go? So.
Yeah. And the gentleman was talking about, you know, toughness and you miss all that. You work together, you sweat together, you win, you lose, you laugh, you cry, and then that's all gone because you're there 1 year or maybe not even a year.
Yep,
it's
and
crazy.
It does. It impacts everything when you start talking about how you build a team, how you build a program. But we also talked about adaptability.
Yeah.
You have to do it differently now.
I agree.
Until 100%. Something changes.
I agree. I'm not complaining about that. It's just different.
Woo. That's it. And so now you got to go
be
adaptable.
Adapt.
You got to
sure
be adaptable
better.
And
are
go
you,
get
or
it.
Or you will be left way behind.
Yep. All right. Well, we get started to our bottom of the hour break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Jake Crane to get his thoughts on this crazy world and check in with him as well. So come back after this break here on The Drive.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Tuesday, and go to the Skybar hotline now for a familiar voice and familiar face. Jake Crane joining us. Jake, man, how you doing?
Jason, Coach, I'm doing great. To be honest, I just muted Miss Rachel. I'm watching my 1-year-old. I hope this goes okay.
No, it'll be great.
We've all been there, and trust me, we know exactly what it is. But no, we appreciate you joining us. And Jake, we're just talking about like the differences in this world, and you've grown up following this your entire life. You're a part of it, coaching, and now watching this. We're talking about just the differences in how you have to be adaptive and the changes and guess the two teams that are getting ready to play on Monday night, maybe I don't know that there's anybody that maybe shows that more than Miami, and then obviously Indiana and what they've both been able to do and how they built rosters different ways. But it's going to be a really, really interesting time these next few days leading up to that game.
Yeah, I mean, Jason, to be honest with you, I really don't know how you build culture anymore. You know, I think one thing we need to remember is Cignetti did. It's kind of an anomaly in a way, because a lot of his best players are guys he brought over from James Madison, and obviously it's a step up from James Madison to Indiana. I'm interested to see how he continues this after the success he's had once those guys are gone. Because, again, there's so many ways that the Cat's getting skinned right now, and we've seen it work in multiple ways. You know, what Sig's doing, and then what Lane Kiffin does, and, you know, what Deion did the first year. In a sport like football, where culture and camaraderie, I think, matters the most, because you got to get 11 guys to move in one direction, and one guy can't win you a game. It's just a totally new landscape. I think Dabo Swinney had one of the greatest quotes I've ever heard about it when it comes to transfer portal. He said, "I feel like a pastor at a Vegas wedding chapel right now."
Well, that's it, because it's a 24-hour, 16-hour courtship now.
Yeah,
that's what this has turned into.
Paying guys, man, you're having to recruit your own team again.
We were talking about that. Yeah, we were talking about that in the first hours. Like, look, you have it used to be you worried about 85 guys, and now you're worried about 385 guys, because you have all your guys, the guys you're trying to get in the portal, and there may be 200 of those you look at over the course of 10 days to try to figure out, can we get this guy? Do we want this guy? It's insanity encapsulated in 15 days.
Well, I mean, it's another wing added to the recruiting department. I mean, it literally opened up a new role. I mean, you have to have a GM now. I mean, you just do. You have to add a bunch of people in the recruiting department. It's become to the point where, you know, you're basically having to, you're almost forced to reload through the transfer portal. And in the perfect world, I think you would rather plug holes in the ship with the transfer portal rather than build the ship out of the transfer portal. But with the timelines for coaches set up now, from what I think used to be 3 to 4 cycles, now you have 2 cycles to prove whether or not you can do it. And at these top places, they're going to fire you. But it has totally changed the dynamic. And, you know, I think the saddest part of it all is the art of recruiting. You know, I knew guys that were unbelievable recruiters, and when it was them versus another guy and money really wasn't an issue, they would win most of those. Now, if you go around and throw around the biggest check, you don't have to talk anybody into anything.
No, you're right. We're talking about, you know, recruiting battles and relationships and going on the road and doing those things, and that's a thing of the past now. Even in high school recruiting, you think about going, look, how much does that factor in? It might for a few guys, but it doesn't for many. But you're right now. And how can you're, I think Cignetti is the perfect example of what does it look like 3 or 4 years down the road? Can you recruit well enough to plug in, or are you just going to say, look, we're just going to keep doing this and sign transfer guys? It's an interesting dynamic on how, and maybe, but the hard part, I think, for Auburn fans to understand and for fans of a lot of schools is that if you look, and people are like, well, man, you got to get more offensive linemen, you got to get more defensive linemen. Everybody in this country is looking for the same guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Georgia, well, Ohio State, Alabama, they're all wanting to sign offensive and defensive linemen too. And that's why you look at the issues everybody has. Like, there's not enough of those guys, and everybody needs them.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a common misconception among the average fan, and you guys both know this. There's a lot more wide receivers running around out there than there are offensive tackles that can play. Like, it's the art of finding offensive and defensive linemen that can be effective. There are just so few of those guys out there compared to a guy that can jump up. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. Heck, I can't do it. I can't run 4-4 and all this. But that's why the guys that are in the portal that I think are the most valuable are offensive and defensive linemen. I mean, look at the NFL draft. I mean, the only person that gets paid more than the quarterback in reality really is the offensive tackle and the defensive end, and there's a reason for that. So I just think, just like in high school recruiting, the top offensive and defensive linemen are going to be the more coveted because there's less of them. You're seeing that in the transfer portal. It's just kind of a souped-up version of that. And I think that'll always be the case because there ain't a lot of 6'5", 300-pound guys that can move their feet like a ballerina and are tough in their core.
No, there's not. And when you look at this, like we saw today, and we talked a little bit about this, about, you know, coaches going, hey, let's do 9 games instead of red shirt, and I'm on the bandwagon of just give them 5 years to play 5 and be done. We need to start to have some kind of calendar that actually works a little bit. But what do you see something coming in the sport where that maybe you're like, I think this is going to happen, or I think this should happen, that could help to get this back on path a little bit? Because it is off the rails right now. What do you think is could really help?
Jason, I don't surrender easily, but at this point, I feel like you've got to make them employees so they can have collective bargaining, so then you can enforce the other side of these contracts.
Correct.
Because they're going to do one of two things. One, they're going to beat you in court, which they have a lot. Or two, they're going to do what they're doing with the Trinidad Chambliss situation and just injunct you and delay you
just
to death
keep
to the point where they get
you
to play the season anyway. Yep. So at this point, I don't want to let perfect get in the way of better. If they already get health insurance, nobody breaks their leg and has to pay for breaking their leg against Georgia. Like, that's paid for. And there's going to need to be some sort of collective bargaining just so there can be guidelines and limits set on this thing. And then you can start enforcing, hey, you got 5 years to play 5. You got one free transfer. After that, it reverts back to the old rules of you got to sit a year unless you're going down.
Yeah.
I just feel like that's the only way out of this. But they're paying them anyway, man. You know, like, we might as well just – it's not old-fashioned to do it. Does it pollute the image of the sport a little bit more? I think so. But, again, I don't want to let perfect get in the way of good.
Yeah, I think the polluting the image of this one is like – looking at the water that was coming out of Chernobyl after that incident, like it's already
that's probably true.
Yeah, but I agree though. I've been saying I think you have to find some guidelines, and that's it. And there has to be for years we all talked about it, and people talked about it. And said, look, the schools and the coaches and the administrators have all the power. Well, now they have none. And you got to balance this out a little bit to give both sides of this a chance to protect themselves.
You want to know what's funny and somewhat ironic? They by allowing this to happen, like, the main goal, it felt like, of the NCAA for so long was to take away the power from the boosters, right, and the guys that were given the money and all that stuff.
Now illegally. They have all
by
of it.
By doing this, they did nothing but just make them the most powerful. This is the best thing ever happened, the boosters. They literally did the opposite. It had the opposite effect of, like, what the NCAA tried. They gave SMU the death penalty for, like, $60,000. Now I'm watching these guys walk around and laugh at $1.5 million. It's just hilarious. I mean, Nevin Shapiro basically got Delta forced by the NCAA, and now right now he'd be the bell of the ball.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, for getting guys in clubs in Miami, and you're like, man, like, what are guys doing now? They're getting guys millions of dollars, and I do think it's interesting to see what happens moving forward with the College Sports Commission, and because now they're putting out numbers that they're saying, look, we're able to enforce this, and we've rejected these deals, but when push comes to shove, will they have any enforcement power? I still have that question.
Well, Jason, I don't think in the United States of America you can do that. You're worth what somebody's willing to pay you.
Correct.
And I don't know how you can track the market value of, like, for example, Arch Manning the day before the first game next year and the day after. His market value could skyrocket in one night with a big game. Like, I don't know how you sit here and say, well, this guy's worth that and this guy's worth that. Until I see them actually enforce anything, it's kind of like the tooth fairy. At the end of the day, I've got to see it for it to exist.
Yeah, no, I agree, and that's why it has. You're right. There's no choice in my mind but to come to a situation where you collective bargain, where you go, look, you're going to have contracts. Here's what they are.
Yeah.
Here's some rules, and then you can go, okay, here's the portal. You got one time free. I completely agree. Second time, you got to sit out a year. Here's what you pay if you want to leave. Here's your buyout. Here's what it's going to cost you.
Which isn't that, we're supposed to be, it's funny, they're student athletes and we hear that all the time, yet when we try and set them up the best way for the real world, like the contracts you're going to have to deal with even in the NFL, they're like, no, don't worry about it, not a problem, you'll be fine. Like that prepares you for life at all when you look at what the rest of us face.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. A lot to think about. Jake, but I know before we let you go, no, you got a new gig. Just kind of talk about kind of your new role and kind of what's going on with you.
Yeah, man, well, I appreciate you asking me about it. We moved over to On Three, just kind of a natural evolution, you know, for a sports show to end up at a sports media company. But it's really the same show. We changed the name from Crane & Company to Crane & Cone because, again, you can only tell a 6'7" guy no for so long. but you can check it out the same place on our YouTube channel. It's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that. Same show, pretty much same song and dance, so if you enjoy it, it's at the same place, and as usual, appreciate you guys having me.
Thank you, Jake. Happy New Year to you, and take care of that little one.
Oh, I will. She's
no up downs.
We got another one on the way. I'm sure it'll be a girl, but yeah, no, I appreciate it, Coach.
And you know, you can always make her do up downs.
Listen, oh, believe me, we've already been swinging the golf club. She's
there you go.
Year old.
We're that is smart. That's very it. Smart. Very smart.
Right, that's it. Thanks, good. Jake, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, buddy.
See you guys.
All right, man. We enjoyed that with Jake Crane. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back as we start to put the bow on this Tuesday show here on The Drive.
Yeah.
At Affordable Comfort Cooling System.
106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in as we get closer to, I'll say, the end of this show, and it has gone from nice outside to pitch dark, so it's probably a little cooler when we get out
here. Yeah, it's going to be a little cooler, and we were talking during the break. Starting Friday, the sun will set finally after 5 o'clock.
That's nice. Unfortunately, Thursday is going to be 41-24.
Yeah, 41 for the high, 24 for the low.
Yeah, so to get to that point, it's going to have another cold day, and we probably got a lot more ahead.
Yeah, you might want to bring those plants in, and especially your animals. And I know earlier in the week, Jason, we heard possibly maybe some ice and snow, but I don't think
that's
going to get us.
I think it's more north Tennessee Valley, some of those things up above us.
Right. But real quick, we didn't have a chance to talk much about the NFL, and the playoffs are set for Saturday and Sunday. There's been a lot of turnover, like we were talking a little bit, and there'll be more. I know some coordinators got let go today. But like you and I were talking, it seems like in pro football, they just recycle the coaches. Does that make sense? I mean, like you were talking in basketball, even, you know, like Hubie Brown coached
a bunch of those
different places.
Correct. It happens. That's the way in football. Now you look and go and look. John Harbaugh is going to be he's going to have his pick of now. I guess there's now 9 jobs available.
Is
in
there
the NFL.
9 open? Wow.
Yeah. So more than a quarter of the jobs in the NFL are open.
And then you got some SEC basketball tonight.
Got basketball tonight, too.
Big slate tomorrow night. Important games at Auburn. The women
Thursday.
Thursday. They had a big win come
they
back.
They did. Played, you know, what's
after getting thumped.
Man,
Texas is pretty good.
Texas is really good, yeah. And that's the thing about it. It's a tough challenge. They got some good young players.
I think they're doing a good job.
I think they're getting better. You mentioned the NFL schedule.
Right.
Buffalo at Denver is 3:30 Saturday.
Okay,
Saturday. San Francisco, Seattle is Saturday night.
Okay.
Then Houston, New England, Sunday early.
New England.
Los Angeles, Chicago is 5:30 Sunday, and it's supposed to be like 10 degrees.
Yes.
So
I love it. I hope it's snowing and sleeting.
So the Rams are going to be a challenge, especially for a quarterback that has a messed up hand. But real quickly, go back to the phone line here, the Sky Bar hotline, and get to Keith. So, Keith, how's it going?
It's pretty good. I don't know what all y'all talk about. I've been hunting a lot this year, and so I just got out of the woods. Has anybody brought up the fact that about all these South Florida players that Pat Dye got 5 players from one high school down there in that part of the country?
Yeah, the Dillard Five back then, they all came from there. The interesting thing about these, some of these guys are guys that have really developed. There's some guys that are talented. Some of the young guys, I think, are extremely talented. The corner that redshirted last year, that guy can play. I think they had some older guys, so they redshirted him. He's long, 6'2" corner. Young tight end's really talented. Running back's a big physical guy. But you look at, we mentioned, like you think about Indiana, a lot of the guys that helped them get to where they are were James Madison kids that were maybe under-recruited a little bit. And so you look at South Florida going, look, can you do the same things, come in and kind of set the culture line and set the maybe the expectations with some of the other guys? I think, that's a way to build it, and it's something that has worked at other places.
Sure. I mean, they've been in this system. I don't think he's just filling the roster with people just to fill them. I think he thinks they can play, and they've been in his system and his weight program, and sounds like a great deal to me. But I just it just kept coming to my mind that Pat and I got those five players, and it seemed like all five of them were fantastic players from one high school.
Yeah, no, I think you're looking, and talent's always important, culture, athleticism. But, something to be said, though, for familiarity, coaching staff, players, all those things. And I think that's something that that they definitely wanted to get coming into Auburn for sure.
That's right. Well, I appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks, Keith. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Eddie Grand did a nice job down in South Florida.
Yes, yep.
Junior Rose Green, just to name a few.
Yep, there were some guys Pat Sims. Those were the Dillard guys that came after that original group.
I butted head with Pat Sims every day when he was a freshman, and then he played, and he played in the pros.
Played for the Bengals for a while.
Yeah, he would have gotten the portal.
Pat Sims probably would not have made it throughout that process. No. Yeah. It's interesting, though, like even a guy like Jay Ratliff,
ooh.
He wasn't the position that he didn't have the success he wanted early on.
Right. Tight end, right?
Yeah. Tight end. It moves the defensive tackle. Yeah. And Spencer Johnson started as a 255-pound defensive tackle.
Exactly.
He was a linebacker in high school. Right. And you go, yeah. Yep, absolutely. A Rain Man on the line here as we get closer to the end of the show. Rain Man, what's up?
Hey, fellas, I'm going to be quick. I can't solve the problems with NIL. I don't know if anyone can. But I have an idea on fixing the playoffs. I haven't really heard anybody talking about this, but through 2 years of the playoffs, and I know once is random, twice is coincidence, and three is a pattern, so we're not quite to a pattern yet, but home field advantage teams are 6-2. Not shocking or surprising in any way. Bye week teams with a first round bye, are 1-7. The lone one is Indiana this year. And we can make an argument maybe Texas Tech shouldn't have been a number one seed, but maybe Georgia shouldn't have been. I mean, they were SEC champs. So it can't just be seeding. Clearly having a week or the extra 15 days off or whatever is not helpful to a team. Gets your offense out of sync and out of rhythm. And there's an issue there. If we're going to expand, let's add 4, go to 16, do 8 home teams, and then no more bye weeks.
Yeah,
I agree.
I think it's robbing us of our best football for those teams.
Yeah.
The fact that they're 1-7 through 2 years of the playoffs.
Yeah, I like what Dan Lanning has said. Look, college football is a Saturday football game. So, okay, the NFL plays on Saturday once you get to playoffs. So what? Continue to play. So you go after championship week, which I think is slowly dying out.
Yeah.
But you play those 8 games the next Saturday.
Well look, they're playing pro games on Thursday nights now.
Yeah. So, but I agree. I think you play 8 home games that first week.
Right.
And then you can start mixing in bowl games. But I agree. I think if you're a top seed, you've earned the right to have a home game.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big deal. So, I agree. I think that's a big part of this, and I think that should be part of the playoff run now.
That's what I'm hoping. If we go to more expansion, let's go 16, then we can just have 8 home games and have 4 neutral site games, 2 and more, and none of this bye week stuff, because it is clearly not advantageous to the bye week team.
Yeah, I think some of that, too, is when you start talking about, the how it worked the first year. You had a couple of teams that had byes just because they were a champion, maybe weren't they weren't a top four. This one looked a little bit more like it's supposed to look, but right. even then it didn't work out the way it could. I also think some of that is, look, there's more teams capable of winning games that aren't necessarily a top four seed mm-hmm. because of the parity now that we haven't had before.
Yeah, and I, as a former coach, I hated too long a time off. I never liked open dates. I know they were, you know, good for getting healthy, but it just, if you're winning and in a rhythm, you want to keep that going.
Yeah. Yeah, Keith, we appreciate it. Yeah, I agree. I think it's part of this, but I also think when you look at how this thing works.
Jason, I hate to interrupt.
Yeah.
Let me hear what you got going real quick, buddy.
Yeah, we got a lot going on. Obviously, portal stuff happening at Auburn Undercover, you know, Auburn 247. Lots of things happening with the portal, things that are going on there. Basketball coverage, some baseball thoughts as well. So
gymnastics.
Yeah, guy. Hey, this is the busiest time, and obviously this portal time has made it even more. But look at the dead period ends after tomorrow. There'll be some visits probably this weekend,
right?
Going on as we get to see if they can finish up this roster.
Jason, can't thank you enough for taking care of me, buddy.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate
thank you.
Y'all.
Good luck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks,
appreciate
Drew.
Everybody for having us. Thanks for everybody for joining us on the drive today, and hopefully we'll catch you again down the road.
All right.